Hazel is driving, and damn her children, and damn her eyesight, and who cares where she's going? Up to Hamel for a half gallon of milk. Out to the cemetery west of I-55. Into Edwardsville, just to drive past the old high school where she used to cook lunch, serving her own children when they came through the line. Never saying more than, "Hello, you want potatoes?" Then turning to the next one, "And how about you?" There's the brick building. There's where the tiger used to crouch above the doorways. Gone. The place has a different use now. The high school has been moved out to 157. Back home without a hitch. This time, most times. The stoplights in town are enough to guide her, and she knows these streets. Occasionally, yes, a shape dives into view from the left side or right, and she's not quite sure what it is. Could be a bird or a tree branch or, Lord, a child on a skateboard. But she keeps her hands steady on the wheel while a fist grabs her stomach and squeezes hard. Has she got into an accident? Even a little one? Even once in all these years? No, she has not. Down Sumner Road, following its jigs and jags. These roads, her roads, are the width of two cars, but they slope just a little to either side, and so gliding down the center, she feels looking ahead like she's balancing on the blade of a giant knife. Here it is March. Here it is April. Here she is, Hazel, driving, driving. The house is white clabbered, has damp cellars, has olive-green carpets circa 1963. Sits on 150 acres, including barn and fruit trees, septic tank, dug well, and a garden verdant and terrifying with 8 weeks of weeds. All the rest of the land is planted in corn and soy. This still groomed, carefully attended. In the kitchen, a Christmas cactus points out the closed window. The rooster clock on the wall cock-a-doodle-doos to an empty house. Flocked wallpaper in the dining room. A wooden hutch. Painting of Jesus and the disciples seated in a row like the head table at a wedding. Jesus is looking down past the bottom of the painting, past the expandable table with all of its leaves stowed away, past the chairs, even past the green carpet to the wood planks below. Hidden there is the impress of an iron stove that once squatted fatly in the center of the room. The second story wasn't added until 1927. Outside, one can see it and other changes. Different siding, seams at the edge of the porch, a garage that hides the cellar door. Before all this, the house was a simple square located just down the road until the sturdy German forebears put the cabin on logs and rolled it up the hill. No one can explain why this was done. But here it is. And there, there in the garage. A maroon Lincoln, believed by most everyone to have last been driven at a date no more recent than Thanksgiving. Sometime between pie and dishes and rummikube, the keys were palmed by a devious daughter. Only late the next day was the mother informed, by phone, the daughter safely back in Chicago, that the theft of these keys was for her own safety. The spare key had been accounted for. The mother had given it to her son for safekeeping. This fact should have been verified, of course, and was. Only the brother hadn't cared to admit to his sister, when the idea of the key repossession was first proposed, that he wasn't exactly sure where the spare one had gone. When asked, in fact, lied. "Yeah, I have it right here." What did it matter, as long as the mother didn't have it? Could the mother have had it? No. Well, yes, in fact. But of course she mentioned this fact to no one. Berated her daughter and sulked to her son in the days following Thanksgiving. Still hadn't forgiven them by Christmas, grumbling in the kitchen while rolling out dough for the crescent rolls, while boiling and mashing many pounds of potatoes. But through the winter and early spring, she accepted rides to the grocery store and to church. "Oh yes, thank you so much, oh I sure do appreciate it," from various members of the son's family, daughter-in-law and eldest grandson, and once the younger grandson, whose long hair and scowling expression frightens everyone but his grandmother. No need to drive herself anywhere other than to prove a point. Or for the freedom of the road, grown skittering at times, unsteady but still hers to claim.